Feels better. We will continue on our series of lessons we entitled the series Lifeology. Lifeology, we know that that is not an official word in the Webster's Dictionary. But as we search the scriptures, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted unto us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and excellence, as we search the scriptures to find out how God has equipped us to live our lives every day while we own this. So anybody else in here need some help living every day? Every single day. The Lord's Day is a good day. Amen. Today is our easy day. Yes. It's the day that we come and we put our focus on God, and we try to block the Satan out, the devil out, and we give praise and thanks to God, and we round fellow Christian brothers and sisters. This should be our good day, a day that we can resist Satan more than other days. I hope it is our best day. And this is the day the Lord has made. But boy, I tell you what, Monday is coming. Amen. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Tomorrow we got to go to our job. And we amongst other folks. And it gets difficult sometimes. So we're searching the scriptures to allow God to speak to us and help us to live every day. The lesson titles thus far have been Life is Hard and Not Always Fair. Enjoy life. Habits are the key to all success. Good people build their lives on a foundation of respect. Honesty is still the best policy. And on last Sunday night, it's okay to fail. Those are the lesson titles. I kind of borrowed some of the subject titles from Al Urban's book, Life's Greatest Lessons. My lessons are not like his lessons in the book, and I want to use the word of God to guide us. I know he gives some good suggestions. Some of you may have read his book, give some good suggestions, but they don't compare to what God gives us. Although he does use some biblical principles in his book. This day, I just don't have time to review. I believe the lessons are online. Most of them are on our website. If you didn't get a chance to hear them, if you want to listen to them, you can. To this morning, the subject title, No Substitute for Hard Work. Amen. No Substitute for Hard Work. And I've revised the title a little bit because I've substituted the phrase hard work with diligence, because the Bible uses both uses work over and over again, but it uses also diligence. And sometimes when we say hard work, it just run people off because we think of slavery and outdoors and sweat. Well, although those are examples of hard work, but hard work can be you in your room reading. Hard work can be mental work. It could be you working on your computer. Anything but work is an action word, without a doubt. It's not a mental exercise. It can be a mental exercise, but it is exerting effort. The word diligence in the Bible, it means persistent, constant. It's a word that means attentive in effort to completing a work, completing whatever it is. And so hard work has great connotation and great meaning and great value. And Urban, he says there's no substitute for hard work. And I totally agree, because we can even pray all day. We can pray to God, but if we don't follow that prayer up with some effort,
amen.
Mm-hmm. There's much to be said that is lacking, that is lacking. There are instances when we have to pray and we don't exert effort. And I definitely believe in the power of prayer, because some things you can do can't replace what God can do. Amen. And so I don't want you to misunderstand that. But at the same time, we're talking about in our own lives, as we try to fulfill our purpose on earth, as we try to make our circle and our lives better, there are things that God has given us, and there is absolute no substitute for your own diligence in those efforts. I hope you'd accept that diligence and work are God's divine design. Divine means not of this earth. In other words, see, some people work because they like to work. Well, you got to know that God put it in us to work. Listen to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep him. God gave him a beautiful garden, but not just to look at. Not just to look at the stars and, oh, how beautiful that. He gave him something to do while he was in the garden. And it involved effort. It involved exertion. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, says, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order." It is a command. In the church, he wrote this letter to read this to every member of the church. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat. Hallelujah. That's in your Bible. Amen, somebody. Notice, this was an order that was read to. Why did they have to read it? Because some folk in the church wasn't working. And he just makes the statement. We know that some of us who cannot physically work because of ailments and distresses, and he's not talking to you in that particular instance, but there is also work for all of us to do. Amen. Even those who are somewhat debilitated in physical forms. Amen. And he said this. Now, he said he's not to eat. Now, my dad applied that in our house. He did. If my mother went and walked in one of our rooms and the beds wasn't made up, you wasn't about to eat nothing until that bed got made up. Amen. My brother's in here. He can attest to that. Listen to verse 11. For we hear that, now notice this, we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life. Yeah. And we talking about life and every day and improving our lives. And you know and I know that discipline helps us. Amen. Discipline is training. See, it's training your body, your mind. It's training yourself to do things that you really don't necessarily want to do, but you go ahead and do them because they are for the greater benefit. Yes. That's what discipline is all about. Training yourself to do something that needs to be done that you don't necessarily want to do, but for our benefit. Not just making you do something just to be. He says, some of you are leading an undisciplined life. Then he goes on to say, doing no work at all. Yeah. He says, now some of you not working at all. What are you doing? But acting like busybodies. You in other folk business. Just being messy. Not working. That's a bad combination. You not working and you're being messy. In other folk business, just yapping away, talking about people, what the, you know, just conversation. Amen. And no activity going on. And isn't it amazing that the Bible isn't that true today? Some people do that. Just sit up and watch things, watch people and what she doing and what they doing, and that don't make no sense. And Lord have mercy, and talking about people and what you doing, eating. Probably nothing. They were doing it back then. He said this, verse 12. Now such persons we command and exhort. Now we command and encourage in the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, to work in quiet fashion. And eat their own bread. That's the instruction from the Bible. It's God's divine plan that his people be about. And I don't want you to miss skew the definition of work. But he says, God's people need to be what? I thank God you can be a Christian. He says, work in quiet fashion. You don't have to be out front. Thank God for individuals who don't want to be seen. They don't want to be heard. Just look, just let me do, let me be active doing the God's way. I don't have to, my life name don't have to be in light. You can be quiet and working and go to heaven. Amen. Yeah, yeah. And I thank God for individuals in this church who not concerned about putting my name in the bulletin and somebody praising me. Matter of fact, they'll say, look, don't let nobody know what I'm doing. I'm just doing this for my own spirituality, and I'm doing this to be pleasing to God. Amen. And yeah, yeah, beautiful, beautiful. I wanna stay positive this morning. And I want to just highlight the rewards of diligence, the rewards of hard work, and how it blesses our everyday life. Amen. Number one, profit. The scriptures would say that hard work and diligence is profitable. See, to profit means that you get more out of it than what you put into it. See, if you have a business and you're going into business for yourself, you're going into business to make some money. You want to make sure that you make more money than you put into that business. And that's what the word profit means. Listen to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. Proverbs 14, 23. It says, in all labor there is profit. Don't miss this. Don't miss this, because sometimes we diminish the value of labor. Now, this in this instance, it's talking about something that we are doing. He says, in all labor, whatever realm, whether it's in church work, whether it's in your family, whether it's on your job, there is all labor, there is profit. You get more out of it than what you put in. You don't be mad that you've worked and done something. And that is powerful. It really is powerful, because, you know, I remember when we were young, see, my parents made us wash the dishes. My mother in particular, she made us wash the dishes. All the boys had to wash. My sister had to wash dishes. And at the time, I saw no value. It was kind of like punishment. But, you know, value, profit, there can be monetary value. There can be value just a peace. Value in organization. Okay, you wash the dishes. The dishes are washed, and then you have clean dishes. You eat clean dishes. Some of us see there is value in every. You can pick something in your house that need. You can take a room. You go in and say, "Oh, that room is just so junky." Well, if you make your mind up to clean up that room, you're gonna get some profit from it. There's too much in there. Well, just take a corner, take the shelf, and just say, I'm going to clean this. And you know why we run from it? Because it's work. Amen. But when you do the work and you look at that shelf and you say, my, I didn't know all that stuff was in there. Amen. And if we understand the value in labor, we know that nothing that we do is not unprofitable. Amen. It would help us to do more. And that's, we're talking about in the physical sense in this particular instance. But profit can be monetary profit. It can be organizational profit. You are so overwhelmed, whether on your job, whether it's on your desk, whether it's sitting in your office room. You see all these things that need to be done. It takes some work to do it. But if you go ahead and do it, there's more value than what you're mad about. Yeah, yeah. Profit. Number two, satisfaction, self-respect. Yeah, it's a reward of hard work. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24. Ecclesiastes 2, 24, Solomon put it this way. The Bible says, verse 24, There is nothing better for a man, and I know that's a bold, powerful, all-encompassing statement, but this is what Solomon, the Bible calls Solomon the wisest man who ever lived. And he says this, he says, there is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. And I had a difficult time in grasping that, but he says, listen, especially for the male of the species, you know how we are. He says, listen, it is good when you do something. You enjoy the fruits of what you do. You've done it yourself. He says, there's nothing better. In other words, there's great satisfaction in you taking on a task, completing the task, and rewarding yourself for completing the task. And then he says, he goes on to say, this also I've seen that it is from the hand of God. God wants us to be laborious people. Because it does. It gives us satisfaction, self-esteem. We're talking about living, lifeology, living every day. Some of us get down because we feel no value in what we are doing. And even if the task is not necessarily on your job, if you choose, you say, listen, do you know today I've been looking at this shed and I'm going to clean this shed up, and you stay with it and you stay with it and you take all the stuff out and you pull it all out and then you put it back in and you organize and you complete it. You know, us men, we wash the car, we cut the grass, and you look back and say, boy, look at that grass. I did that. And it makes you feel good. And when you feel good, you act better. Yeah. When you feel good, you're a better daddy. You're a better mother because you've accomplished the task. Sometimes we try to take on too much. But remember, there is profit in all labor. Don't try to bite off all of it in one day. Do a little bit here, a little bit there, but do something. Yes, satisfaction, respect. Solomon said it, and I believe it, and God is pleased when we complete a task. Tell you what else hard work, diligence does. It keeps us out of trouble. Amen. It keeps us out of trouble. Listen to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. Proverbs 18, 9. He says, he also who is slack, the word slack, slothful, it's the opposite of hard work. It's the opposite of diligent. He who is slothful, slack in his work, is brother to him who destroys. That's what the scriptures say. Yeah. 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 Your work keep you out of trouble. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Yeah, you heard sometimes, hey, you need to, maybe that's why my dad and my mom used to keep us so busy when we were little. And my dad, when we were younger, I just remember some words he used to say, some phrases I find myself saying when my kids was coming up. He said, you know, dad leave from work and we all going to be at home. He said, I'd hear him say, get them boys something to do. And we'd hate to hear that. Because my mother didn't have a problem finding something for us to do. But, work keeps us out of trouble. Yeah. And especially for you as young parents, make up something for them to do. Amen. I mean, you know, let's listen. Now, kids, you know, entertainment is so they everything is so just bright, living colors and computer screens, but you have to plan on giving your kids something constructive that they can feel about, good about, that they have accomplished, that they do. Yeah, and work keeps us out of a whole lot of trouble. Lord have mercy. I could go on and on with that. I just, for time's sake, I don't want to do that. But we need to keep some work. Yeah. In the summer months, more of our young kids get in trouble in the summer. And sitting around the house, eating up everything, and just watching TV. And I know sometimes we are handcuffed at what we can find, but in the summer gets a lot of our kids in trouble. Not just the summer, but they have too much time on their hands. Yes. too much time on their hand. You listen, you put any, I don't care if church going kid, you put them in the house by themselves with nothing to do, they will find something, some devilment to get into. Amen, something. So make them clean up. Go let them pick the tree. Get, tap, take a tree and just pick all the bark off the tree. I used to think my mother made up stuff. She used to tell that this was hers, which so she did. Lord, she's not at this service, so I didn't say this at the first service, but I'm going to say it at this service. She abused us. It wasn't no such thing as weed eaters. When I was coming up, our family, we should have been the ones getting paid off to being, we should have made up the weed eater. Because there wasn't no such thing as weed eater, but we had fence at the house and we pulled weeds. And anytime you could tell, we would get fussing among each other and playing and getting in the fight. She said, I tell you, go out there and I want you to go around that fence. I want every blade of grass pulled out of that fence. And we'd be out in the yard on our knees pulling weed, it wasn't weeds, it was grass. And we'd be on our knee. That's why my knee probably bad right now. And we'd be pulling the fence right here. We pulling on, and she would come out there and say, get on both sides. We pull on this side of the fence. You couldn't get it all. And she said, go around the fence and get on. On the other side, we pulling the grass. And my friends across the street, they looking at us and laughing. What y'all doing? Shut up. Don't be messing with us. He was pulling no gloves, and literally our fingers. Am I telling a tale, Anthony? Our fingers, your cubicles, you have skin. I told you she abused us. But you know what the Bible says? There is profit in all labor. Because I believe it now. I believe it. I didn't believe it then. Because the discipline, the training. I mean, see, I know all my brothers are like this. You give us a task, if it's labor, if it's something that we gonna hit it. We're going to get with it. Amen. And we're going to get it done.
Come on now.
And that's where it started. That's where it started. And I tell you, I guess that kept us out quite a bit of trouble. Yeah. It almost killed us, but it. Rewards of hard work. It brings honor. Brings admiration. And it brings favor. Listen to the word of God in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 31. You've heard of the virtuous woman. And I don't have time to read it all, but listen to the last verse. Give her the product of her hands, profit, and let her works praise her in the gate. Not she's bragging about what she's done. It's what she's done has gained admiration by those. But see, we don't need folks getting on back, beating themselves on the chest by look what I've done. But God is just telling you, if you are diligent, if you are a hard worker, it gains people's attention, whether you want it to or not. The consistency, the persistency, and it gains praise. Any of us, we admire those who take something, stick to it, and get it done.
Come on now, preach up.
Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Christians, he says, he's writing to the Thessalonica church. But we request of you, brethren, the church, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. Now, he's specifically talking about the elders in the church, those who minister in the church. And he says, appreciate those who. Now, some things you can't fool people when it comes to.
Yes.
And he says to those in the church, you appreciate those who are consistent, who are persistent, and they are working. And this working is an action. And you know, when, and he says this, he says, and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. He said, appreciate, because those individuals, you know, sometimes they are few and far and in between. And when you have somebody like that, do not take them for granted. That's why more things will be said. That's why those of you, some of you are not, were not in the era of Brother Bob Adams. You know, Bob Adams is one of our former elders who's passed. Some of you here now, you were not in the era to appreciate his labor, but I was. And many in here were. And many of us knew. See, Brother Adams was soft-spoken, but Brother Adams, you talking about consistent, persistent worker, laborer, over and over, and he deserves honor.
Yes.
For what he has done.
Amen.
And you'll hear more about that, but I understand it. And it's not bragging. It's not lifting up somebody higher than they need to be. It's just saying, listen, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for what you have given. You've demonstrated that we can see. So that brings honor and admiration. It brings favor. Notice, it does it in our church life. It does it on your job. It does it in your family. Anyway, we're talking about blessing and living our lives every day. These principles apply in every realm of our life. I was in high school and I worked at a place called Yellow Freight. It's closed, it's not around anymore. And I may have told you this story before, but I worked at Yellow Freight and my mama's training came out when I was at Yellow Freight. Yellow Freight, you worked on the dock. We were casuals. And two of my teammates worked with me. We were getting ready to go to college and we were working one night and the man came in. They would give us one. We got paid back then real good, but they only gave us 1 or 2 days a week to work. We were at work. We came in. He says, okay, today I'm put y'all on the truck. And he took us to the truck, and it was a truck that had 70-pound coffee bean, coffee in the bags, and 70 pounds. Each one of them weighs 75. And he says, y'all job is to empty this truck. And I'm like, whoo, I shouldn't have came to work today. And he put us on that truck, and we started on the truck. We had to take the coffee beans out of one truck and put them in another truck. And it was a long night. And we started on that truck. We started those beans. And he did not tell us that nobody had ever unloaded one truck in one night before. He never told us that. He just told us to get on the truck. And so we started on the truck. We were working. It was three of us. And one of the guys, he wasn't a teammate, but he was a kind of a scrawny guy. And he was working with us, and he put two on it, and two to load, two to up. And we started working. You know, you're working, and you know, that those bags looked like they wasn't going nowhere. We were lifting them off, putting them on the thing, boom, 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 two at a time, putting them on the thing, and taking. After we got about maybe just a little way, I said, man, we need to pick it up, man. We're not going to finish this if we don't get this. So we started singing, working on the trucks. We were singing songs and the guy, and the boss man came, and he just looked at it. He didn't say anything. We were slinging. We took about a 10-minute break. We got back on the truck. After a while, it was hot. We all took off our shirt. We didn't even ask the boss man. We took our shirts off. And by that time, three or four more of the other guys around in the warehouse, they started walking around looking, trying to see what we were doing, and we were just humming. And the one young man who was not one of our teammates, while we were doing, he said, man, y'all gonna kill me. Y'all gonna kill me. This is too hard. And finally we say, boy, shut up and get them coffee beans. Come on. And we were slinging coffee bags. We got down close to almost closing time, man. In the back of the truck, you could see the light. You could see the little crack, the back of that wall. And that we said, there go the wall. We were singing and slinging and slanging bad. We emptied that whole truck in one night. It was eight, what's the 40 footer, whatever we emptied the whole truck in one night. when we got close to the end, 8 or 9 of them came out. They was coming down to look and see what we did. And the boss came down to see what we did. And we standing there, they giving us a clapping that we finished the truck. And we was sweating, you know, they said, man, some ball players. We was sweating and going on. And the boss man told us after we got through, he said, want y'all to know, y'all the first group that's ever emptied a full trailer of coffee beans since Yellow Freight been in existence. That's what he told us. We didn't know it, you know, before the time. And from that day, from that time on, he gave us at least 3 days every week. And at that time, I think we were making $18. This was in 1978. And I was a little skinny. I was in shape, but I was a little scrawny by myself. But 1978, and he let us work at least 3, and we were making $17, $18. All that money was good. But we simply gained favor by laboring. And some of our young people, you get on these jobs, I don't care who you working for, Wendy's or McDonald's or whoever it is, if they give you a task of mopping the floor, amen, you do a great job at it. Yes. And you procure favor and admiration. Hard work, one of the rewards of hard work is power. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24, the hand of the diligent will rule, according to the scriptures. But the slack of the slothful hand will be put to force. Too many of our boys are in forced labor in prison right now because they didn't work. They wanted the shortcut. Yeah, see, there ain't no shortcut. Don't look for the shortcuts. You be diligent about what you do, and it will lift you and raise you to positions of rule. Positions of power, rewards of hard work and diligence, unique opportunities. Proverbs 22, verse 29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings, the Bible says. Not that you're doing it to be patted on the back, but you become good at something and you do it well, people will be the path to your door. Amen. You'll be in places that you never dreamed of. Amen. Because someone wants to have access to your skills. Yes. Rewards of good work and hard work and diligence is life, good health. Good health. Proverbs 21, 25, the desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. Don't be a slothful, lazy person. This is male and female. Yeah, good health. Yeah, some of us, our bodies, we need to move around more. Our minds, our mental thinking, stretch your minds, mental thinking, what we do. You know, some of our college students, they say, ooh, I was up all night studying. That's good. Nothing bad about that, especially if you're still of that age. Especially if you don't have a secular job that you're working on, that's your labor is the school. And you spend the time and consistency and the discipline in stretching your brain while you got it. Amen. It'll bless you. It'll bless you. It gets harder when you get older to do that. It'll bless you. Yes, hard work and diligence builds character. It builds the character of discipleship, of Christ-likeness, because Christ was such a diligent worker. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. In other words, don't brag on yourself. Whatever you have is all by the grace of God. But listen to what Paul said, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. Whatever God has given you, he's given it to you. But don't you disgrace God and disgrace anybody else by not using what God has given you. Amen. And whatever he's given you, don't let it be vain that he's given to you. Why, Paul surely didn't. Listen to what he said. He says, but I labored even more than all of them. And I definitely do not believe the Bible teaches that our works will save us. That our meritorious works, because some of us, we work and say, see how much I did? And our minds and hearts are still not right with God.
Amen.
That's not what he's talking about. But also, don't you misunderstand this. That God knows every work we do.
Yes.
He knows our labor. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and chapter 2, to the seven churches of Asia, he starts off all of these letters, all of these commendations. He says, I know your works. Because you say what you will or may. See, God is not concerned about us talking all day. Because faith without works is dead, what the scriptures say. And Paul wasn't bragging. He says, but I labored, I worked harder than them all. Then he goes on to say, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. That's where our hearts are right, because when we understand how good God has been, when we understand how gracious God has been to us, it ought to make us get up off all of ourselves and do something for God.
Yeah,
it ought to do something for God. Rewards, I'm about to close. Rewards of faith. I call this one sweet rest. Sweet rest. The proverb writer wrote, Proverbs 3:24, when you lie down, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. But there's nothing like a good sleep when you've been working all day. Amen, somebody. Don't need laying down if you haven't been doing nothing. But you know, when you see, that's why I don't mind, you know, sometimes, I'm just so tired. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, you know, I understand because I've done the same thing, but there's nothing wrong with being tired. Especially when you're doing what's righteous in the sight of God. Now, we're not talking about hard work, because there are some criminals who work hard also. But Paul said, whatsoever things are pure or holy or of good report, dwell on these things. Now, we're not talking about working for something that's wrong. But when you're working for the Lord, there's nothing wrong with being tired.
Amen.
When you're doing something that's for good, when you're studying all night, when you're trying to gain some knowledge that's going to help your family, that's going to help someone else, there's nothing wrong with being tired in attaining that.
Amen.
Because they say, when you lie down, you'll sleep good. Yeah, my wife, she tell me, on Sunday night, like on Sunday nights, if I preach 8 o'clock and if I preach 11 o'clock and if I preach 6 o'clock service, I'm telling you, on Sunday nights, I'm spent. I'm telling you, and on Monday, it never failed. Monday morning, KP said, she said, how you feeling? I said, I'm okay. She said, you ought to be, because you snowed like a bear. Kept me up all night long. You know what I tell her? Praise the Lord. Leave me alone. Yeah, nothing wrong with sleeping. You're sweet, red. And you know, you sleep, you're not having nightmares because you're so tired, the mares leave you. Last passage, the brother read in your hearing, Revelations 14:13. I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Listen, from now on, the New American Standard Translation would say, yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors. Their deeds do follow them. Yeah. See, this rewards of hard work, rewards of hard work, sweet rest. There is a rest, then there is a final rest. But as we say more about Brother Bob suffered.
Amen.
He suffered for a long time. And if you know him, you know how faithful he was. Man of God, loved to teach, and And the Bible says he is at rest right now. Yeah. And notice this. Your works follow. See, even when you're gone, people talk about what you've done, what you've contributed. Some people, I don't care what people think about me. I care what people think about me. But more than that, I care most what God thinks.
Amen.
You're here today. We're just trying to improve our everyday lives as we live every day. And that's what we're studying God's word, because we want to be more effective in our families, on our jobs. We want to have more fulfilling lives. We want to have more positive influence in this world. And we want to be walking around in a state of depression all the time. And I'm understanding better from studying God's word how all of these elements will help me to be a better teacher, a better preacher, a better father, a better husband, a better wife, a better child. But notice, it boils down to, we got to do some of this stuff God has told us to do.
Amen.
I can't just keep reading about it and talking about it. We got to put it into action. I know you're with me. We're trying to get better. We're trying to do better. If you're here today, you're not a child of God. Man, what a great opportunity.
Amen.
You have today. You come by faith. It starts here in our mind. You hear God's word. You've heard a portion of it today. You believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that came, he lived, he died. The scriptures say he's coming again. He gave us the perfect example. No excuse. And he offered up a sacrifice for everybody's sins.
Amen.
And we say, thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your example. If you're willing to repent of your sins, notice, God don't tell us to go die, go crucify, die on the cross again. Jesus did that for us. But you do have to acknowledge your sins, that these sins are something I don't want to do anymore. I'm turning them over to God. I'm going to live a better life now. It's called repentance. You confess Christ. You're not ashamed that you're a Christian. You confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes, Romans 10:9-10, Matthew 10:32. Be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. God adds you to his family.
Amen.
And then he says in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, be faithful unto death. What's the show that comes on, the Amazing Race? This is a race to the end of our lives. It's a race to death. And that's why we need all of this, because it's an endurance race. Yeah, we go through these stages that we are up, the stages we are down, and we need fuel, and we need everything we can to stay in this race. Notice, to the end.
Yes.
So you're here today, you need to be baptized. Won't you do it today? If you're here, you want us to church to pray for you, we'll pray for you. If you're here, you want to get something right, won't you do it as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the seas heard my despairing cries, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I.
His love
lifted me. Love lifted me.
Even me.
When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling, and in his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing.
His
love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to him belong.
You can still come, even as we sit.
Love lifted me. Love lifted me.